I'm telling these tears, go and fall away, fall away. Oh, may the last one burn into flames. Freedom, freedom, I can't move.
What's up, Wisconsin? And beyond. I'm Maggie Dawn, host of the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Monday, y'all. I don't know, I woke up this morning, I felt pretty good today. Lots going on. We got a great show for you today, but more importantly for each and every one of you, this week kicks off Civic Media's Go for the Green or Gold Text to Win statewide contest. I don't get to give anything away, Brian, or at least give the code words for this text to win. But
we don't get the code words this time?
We're not this time, but really excited to announce the contest. So the hook here, like the green and the gold, refers to the fact that each hour there's going to be one winner per hour, not during the show, but during the 7 a.m. hour, the 11 a.m. hour, 1 p.m. and 4 p.m. So in those 4 hours of the day, there's going to be one winner per hour that's either going to win $100 cash or gold jewelry. Get it? The green and the gold, which I think is super cool. To qualify to win right now, if you do not yet have the Civic Media app, go ahead to your favorite app store. You can download it. Just type in Civic Media. You download it for free. And then you pick whichever station you want to make your primary station. I like the WAUK. I also like the WMDX. But I like all of our stations, especially our talk stations. But it's also across many of our music stations as well. So pick a station, listen in, and then when you hear the code word to go for the green or gold in the 7, 11 a.m., 1 or 4 p.m. hours, you text in, you just press the little text button at the bottom of your screen on your cell phone, and boop, you will be entered to win. And here's what's super cool, Brian. It's football season, y'all. So, of course, if we're talking green and gold, we're not just talking about the jewelry and the cash money. We are also talking green and gold, some football teams that you may be very well acquainted with. There will be one grand prize winner from this statewide text to win contest that will run until next Friday, so all of this week and all of next week. We're going to give away to one lucky person a pair of indoor club level tickets to see the green and gold in Green Bay on Monday, December 23rd against New Orleans. Very cool.
That is very cool. Actually, it'll be very cold probably by then.
Yeah, very cool and cold. What's the coldest game you've ever been to?
Probably one I played in.
Oh.
And that was the worst. And actually, the coldest I ever got was pretending to be a Chicago Bear. I was on Soldier Field.
How does one do that?
It was during Devin Hester's reign as really, really good. Yes. And I did a commercial for a computer store, and he was coming to life in the store, and I was one of the players that got to be on the field because for some reason they asked people who have played football before, and we all raised our hands, and those are the people who are allowed to be on the field because we knew how to walk on a field properly
and not tear it up.
Yeah, well, it was awesome because we had sleeves on, like the long sleeves and stuff. Well, the NFL people came down and told us to cut it all off, so the costume people had to come in under our pads and cut it all off, and we were frozen.
We weren't playing. Pink bear arms.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're not throwing off any heat. Coldest I have been to one at the frozen tundra that was extremely cold. It was maybe around like 5 degrees Fahrenheit when I was much younger. And then maybe about 10 years ago, I went to a game at Soldier Field, a Bears game, and it was legit minus 10 Fahrenheit outside.
No.
I put on every piece of outerwear I had. It was like, well, let's start with the Under Armour, then the fleece, then the puffy vest, then the, you know, the winter coat. And then I had lost a little weight. I had this big fancy top, like wool long top coat that I used to wear over my suits, right? So it fit a little larger. And I popped that thing on top. We had the, you know, those, the hot packs that you crack crack open for Hunt. I mean, everybody in Wisconsin, everybody's nodding at their radios right now. Yeah, I had bunches of those we took extras with to swap them out during the game. It was brutal, and it was much, much worse at Soldier Field than it was at the frozen tundra at Lambeau, because Lambeau, like, there is no breeze in Lambeau Field.
Well, and if there is, it's not as much as the howling wind
off the lake.
That is off the lake, and also magnified if it goes the other way, because it comes through downtown. I dressed very similarly when I was a doorman on Hubbard Street.
same thing going on.
Four coats on. Some guy tried to punch me once.
You're like, do that again.
I just stood there and I'm like, really? And he goes,
never mind.
And he stopped and like walked away. Like, it was the most non-violent fight I've ever gotten into.
That guy that you're hearing from is my wonderful producer, Brian Kelly. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I always like to talk a little sports, little what happened this weekend on Monday mornings before we jump 2 feet in to the news of the day and the week. Of course, folks, we got a really busy show for you, as we always do. Dr. Ben Weston, Milwaukee County's health policy advisor, is going to join me at the bottom of the hour. Of course, we've got Maggie and the Millionaires talking money, as we do every single day here on the Maggie Dawn Show. That'll be at 3 p.m. We got a great guest for you, the founder of the Patriotic Millionaires, Erica Payne. And then at 3:30, I'm very humbled and excited to have the White House's executive director on historically black colleges and university, Dr. Deatra Trent, will be joining me. Always a pleasure to have these guests from the White House. They know so very much because President Biden today, as part of HBCU Week at the White House, announced another incredible investment in historically black colleges and universities. So we'll have Dr. Trent with us this afternoon. But I did want to take a moment, Brian, to talk about the Emmys, because in addition to football, you are not just a football player and a fabulous radio producer and my buddy and an all-around great guy. Brian Kelly, some of you may know, is an actor.
I'm a card-carrying member.
SAG member. He's fabulous. You may have even seen him on things like Chicago PD. I know I looked up all your old episodes because it's cool to like point at the TV and be like, I know that guy.
It's weird. It kind of takes you out of it for a second.
It does. Yes. It your suspension of disbelief goes away immediately. And there was a big celebration of television yesterday. The Emmys, the annual Emmys, were on. Now, I'm not a huge one for the award ceremonies, but given that I've gotten more involved in entertainment doing a radio show, the production of the whole event becomes much more fascinating to me, because it is a logistical nightmare every year. So much can happen. Brian, you thought the you thought there were some issues.
Yeah, yesterday. Someone's getting fired.
Somebody's getting fired, per Mr. Brian Kelly. What was it that led you to conclude that, for people who may not have watched?
Three or four returns came back, and there was no audio for the person on the mic. They raised up the mic backwards. The entire setup of everything was kind of awkward. They didn't really transition very well, and it just kind of... At least they got the memoriam right. They didn't have... And it was great that the Milwaukee dancers danced at the Oscars, but we didn't see the memoriam, and this time they did. It was really weird to see Jelly Roll being very... Listen, Jelly Roll's great. I'm not dissing Jelly Roll at all. But it's really... Hi, I'm Jelly Roll, and here's something really, really, really sad.
Do you think the moment got to him, or...
No, he was great. He was fine. It's just the dude's got tattoos on his face. It says Music Man, and it's just a weird thing for me.
I really like Jelly Roll.
Yeah, I'm not saying that he was bad at all. I think he's saying great.
Tattoos on the face now are just sort of par for the course.
I'm telling you, old man me, who's normally very open to stuff, I was like,
It's just it did present an interesting visual, yeah. I will say, a little bit non-traditional. Speaking of tattoos on the face, y'all, I am so excited because tomorrow I'm going to be going to see Teddy Swims in Madison at the Sylvie. He's got some tattoo work on his face.
Go ahead, get tattoos in your face, dudes. I just, for me, I was like,
Yeah. Well, you texted me last night and you said, Mags, I usually don't listen or watch to these shows, but you got to check out John Leguizamo's acceptance speech. And you went and got some audio from this, which I think is really cool because I actually got to meet John Leguizamo once back in New York when I lived there for a number of years. My boxing trainer was originally from the Bronx and grew up like a block and a half away from John Leguizamo, which I thought was super cool. And I was doing, I wouldn't call it a fight. I would call it like a demonstration match, you know, like, in a church basement. And afterwards, I went to my trainer's house in the Bronx to like meet his family, and his wife had cooked. It was this whole amazing spread. I love some Puerto Rican food. And John freaking Leguizamo stopped by and we hung out, had a couple of adult beverages, ate some amazing food together. I think there may even be an old film or like, oh no, not film. The SIM card, because we were still using cameras with the
digital SIM card. Yeah.
There may be a picture floating around somewhere on my boxing trainer's now lost and forgotten camera of me, like, put him up with John Leguizamo because, you know, I'm enormous.
That's awesome.
And John is not.
He's got the right makings for a really famous actor. Small body, giant head.
Giant head. You got to have. I'm the opposite way. Enormous body, tiny head, little peanut head. But that's me, Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. When we come back, we'll listen to John Leguizamo's acceptance speech at the Emmys last night. I think it was really provocative, really interesting. And part of Mr. Leguizamo's, I think, long and important history of speaking out on these sorts of topics. So keep it locked. I'm Maggie Dawn. That guy's Brian Kelly, my producer extraordinaire. You're listening to this Monday edition of The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Hope you're all kicking off the week well, but keep it locked. More coming up next. I'ma keep on running, cause the winner don't quit on themselves.
Американская фирма Transceptor Technology приступила к производству компьютеров персональный спутник.
Maggie, I picture you kickboxing to this song.
Oh, I'm sure this was in, like, the workout musical background tunes. Because we always had music going when you were training because it was so miserable. Boxing training is miserable.
Hot.
It is hot. It is stinky.
Hot.
It makes you want to Ralph like the Packers center did on Sunday because there's no breeze in Lambeau Field. And it was hot, hot, hot. Folks, I'm Maggie Dawn. That guy you just heard is Brian Kelly. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're talking about boxing and the Packers because, yeah, we got to ease into the week a little bit. But because I have the old Kevin Bacon 6 degrees of separation from the guy that I think gave the speech of the evening yesterday at the Emmys, John Leguizamo, he was... Buddies grew up near my boxing trainer when I lived in New York, in case you missed the first segment of the show. But for all intents and purposes, he got up and he gave a verbal takedown, a smackdown, if you will, of those that criticize DEI or diversity, equity, inclusion efforts, which certainly... the Academy of Motion Picture and Arts, as well as the Emmy Selection Committee, all of these have been very male and very white for very long. And the Emmys saw last night, of course, another first, I think at least two firsts, an Asian actress winning for Best Actress in a Drama for Shogun, as well as the best supporting actress going to a Latina for the first time for the actress's role in The Bear.
She was awesome in that, by the way.
I'm a huge fan of that show. We may get time to talk more about that. But I wanted to take and listen to what Mr. Leguizamo had to say because he put it really well. So let's take a listen. This is John Leguizamo, the actor, yesterday at the Emmy Awards.
Yo, 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 what's up? I'm John Leguizamo, and I'm one of Hollywood's DEI hires. That's right, DEI. The D is for diligence. The E is for excellence. The I is for imagination. And everyone in this room tonight has dedicated their lives to diligence, excellence, and imagination. So we are all DEI hires. Mm. And man, what a beautiful and diverse room this is tonight. Wepa. Because when I was growing up in Jackson Heights, Queens, a scrawny little wannabe
Queens,
gangster.
Excuse me.
You're not from Queens, don't lie.
Love it.
I didn't know that people like me could be actors. At 15, I didn't know the word representation. Actually, there were a lot of words I didn't know back then. But I saw a lot of brown face. I saw Marlon Brando play a Mexican in Viva Zapata, and Al Pacino play Cuban gangster Tony Montana, and Natalie Wood play a Puerto Rican beauty named Maria. Everybody played us, except us. I didn't see a lot of people on TV who looked like me. Of course, there was always Ricky Ricardo. Lucy, you got a lot of explaining to do. And I know some of you remember the Looney Tunes cartoon mouse, Speedy Gonzalez, the fastest mouse in all of Mexico. Arriba, arriba, andale! And his lethargic, useless sidekick, Slowpoke Rodriguez. Sorry, Señor Pussycat, I can't play with you no more. It's time for my siesta. And that's how we saw ourselves, because that's all we saw of ourselves.
Mm.
I used to watch Star Trek and think, wow, in the future, there ain't gonna be no Latin people. But at least then the food will suck. And for years, I didn't complain about the limited roles my people were offered. The spicy sex spot, the Latin lover, the maid, the gangbanger. Turns out not complaining doesn't change anything.
Ah.
He goes on from there. He wrote a letter. He took out a whole full-page ad in the New York Times. And, like, his speech was introducing the head of the Emmys, basically, who is Latino. And he says, I fixed all this, but that's why they hired him 8 months before I put out this ad.
Yes. Right.
But yeah.
I wrote down a couple of things, and thank you, Mr. Leguizamo. Queens. It's been years. I forget. That the room is filled with people who believe in diligence, excellence, and imagination. Yes. That how we saw ourselves was because that was all we saw of ourselves, right? The idea that representation matters, the visual matters. This, to me, seems like one of those things that is so incredibly intuitively obvious. And so it's always been troubling when I hear people talk about opposing these kinds of efforts. Why exactly? Why would you oppose greater representation? And usually it comes back as some bizarro version of meritocracy. But that's garbage. Why is it garbage? Because it's based on a racist presumption that, of course, white dudes are better at everything. That the normative or the thing that white dudes bring to the table is somehow inherently more valuable than what women, people of color, and women of color bring, right? I mean, that's what that hinges on. That somehow the access to the corridors of power, the boardrooms of wealth, since the inception of our country, where people were told that they weren't people, but 3/5 of a person, where women were not provided the same rights to vote, that somehow all of that, the impacts of all of that has been magically washed away, and that we needn't take deliberate and important intentional action to be sure that everyone in our community is represented in every place, on TV and in films and in the director's chairs and the producer's chairs and the executive producer's chairs and the people that get paid box office and viewership back ends. Oh, yeah, and those that get awarded and those that get to decide who gets awarded. All of it matters. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Folks, if you're on the horn, stay there. We do have Dr. Weston coming up, but he'll be patient with us because I think this is so important. Because guess what? It shows up in health and wellness. Everybody, I'm Maggie Dawn. That is Brian Kelly, actor, producer, football player extraordinaire, bouncer. I'll think of some more superlatives. I'm your host, Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Your farm update is next. And then Brian and I will be back with Dr. Ben Weston, Milwaukee County's health policy advisor, 855-752-4842. Join us. Text and phone lines are open.
Diabolical sabotage.
When I think I might not be doing good radio, better. I'm Maggie Dawn, folks. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We kicked off the show today talking a bit about actor John Leguizamo's incredible speech last night at the Emmy Awards. Basically, an epic takedown of those that, quote, oppose DEI. Because I actually think people that oppose DEI fall into one of two camps. Camp one, they actually are a little bit racist, right? And camp two, don't consider themselves racist, but actually don't know how the programs operate and may perceive inaccurately that somehow DEI and earning your spot and working hard aren't compatible, which is, again, a misunderstanding. Folks, if you would like to chime in before we bring on Dr. Ben Weston, Milwaukee County's health policy advisor, the number is 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Cam from Appleton, welcome back. What do you have to say this afternoon?
Hey, I used to have like a mini hobby, I guess, of consuming a lot of censored media. Mm. And what I mean by that is that, so cartoons are a really good example of this. Sometimes when they come overseas, especially in the early 2000s and the 90s, and even the 80s, when shows would come over from the East, they would rewrite these shows and then even draw over scenes and panels or cut out scenes. A good example would be Sailor Moon. Back in the day, Sailor Moon had two characters that were in love with each other that both were female. And instead, when it came over to the West, they changed it so they were sisters and cut out any of the intimate scenes between the two. and a lot of animated cartoons that come over have a serious problem with creating characters that have blackface and very bad blackface.
Oh yeah, when you go back, right? You go back to the old Disney cartoon, like they it sure looked like blackface back then.
Yeah, like we were saying, though, they often will see themselves as not racist. They just have a problem with DEI fires, but really they are maybe a little bit racist. I think everyone's a little bit racist.
Well,
you have to challenge yourself and temper yourself. I'm working on my video game right now. I hired an artist to create a female love interest character. I had in my head the entire time a white character. That's what I was thinking of. I didn't communicate that. But guess what she came back with? I opened the file up. She's like, my job's done. I did it. What do you think? Let me know. I open it up. It's a black character. And I was like, you know what? Why not? So I asked. I asked her to tell me more. She herself is Korean. She created an Afro-Latina character. And I thought, you know what? Let's just run with it. Why not?
Yeah, I think that's the point. There is no such thing as a DEI hire. There just isn't. By the way, quotas have always been, for the most part, illegal. There were some really, really high constitutional hurdles that had to be met in order for there to be some sort of hiring quota. But it's weird because, oh, it's a DEI hire. I've never heard anybody be like, oh, that's the old white dude hire. What? I mean, this is most of the time, and I'll speak from my experience, people get hooked up with jobs because they know someone.
Sofia Coppola, Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, we could talk about Nepo babies, right?
Kenny Albert.
But the network is often what throws off the work. And historically, a lot of leadership and a lot of positions occupied by white dudes. Nobody ever was like, whoa, what's up with the incompetent old white dude hire? I mean, this is part of the background of my little line that I drop every once in a while. Nothing like another mediocre middle-aged white guy failing up. I mean, we can see this playing out in the presidential election right now. In spades. Right, Kamala Harris, whether you agree with all of her policies or not, she is competent, she is experienced, she is strong, she is calm, she's not a liar. Not at the level or anywhere close to what Donald Trump does. She has reframed, she has changed her mind. Like all politicians, she's dodged a question or two. But Donald Trump is a documented everyday liar. How is it, folks, unless there's an old white guy hire, if that's not sort of the place where we come from as a society, you're not seeing any sort of contest between a guy like Donald Trump and a woman like Kamala Harris. Temperament, character, truth-telling, seriousness. I mean, Donald Trump is an unserious person. He's seriously dangerous, but he himself is unserious because he has no interest in complexity, in understanding, and he has no interest in the truth. That is an unserious candidate for president. So please don't talk to me about a DEIer because we got a guy running for president because he's the old rich white dude. I've had my cup runneth over with the old rich white dude hire. I'm a little bit sick of that. We got to come up with a tidy acronym for that.
If that's absolutely true, we need a quick acronym for that because it's we're not good.
Robin Voss, yeah. Right? Brian Stiles. Like,
none of them have any necessarily qualifications for doing so, but they do have a good confidence.
I got a good one. Sean Duffy. I mean, the guy was on the stinking Real World.
But he does have a lot of kids. And he's
an old middle-aged mediocre white dude.
Yep. And if I may swing the conversation a little back to the
sure.
Emmys real quick.
Please.
One fun thing that happened was that a guy won lead actor, best lead actor for playing himself in Baby Reindeer. But his speech went along the same lines.
Yes.
Because he was talking about somebody took a chance on this weird show that he did and it worked out. And he implored, because we're in a position right now where Hollywood is not at capacity. Hollywood can be made anywhere else. And most of the big movies, by the way, are not made in the United States anymore.
Yep.
And they're definitely not made in Hollywood because it's more expensive to work in Hollywood physically. So Hollywood itself is crumbling and melting down. So this guy implores them to please stop doing formulaic, safe stuff. Try and take a chance on something a little bit different. And that's really what the essence of DEI is for me, is take a chance on something that is not the same old, and maybe you can come up with something, take a risk. Nothing great happens without taking a risk and doing something like, I don't know, like Cam was talking about, having a different character that you're not necessarily, you know, you don't know all the answers for this character, but you're going to put it out there and maybe see what happens. It could work.
Well, and I loved Mr. Leguizamo's point, right? Like, white people have played people of color forever. Like, can we at least stop with the grotesque stereotyping of women and people of color and allow women to play female characters, to allow people of color to play characters of color, right? To allow trans people to play trans characters, right? Like, I mean, the stereotypes on women go back pretty far, like Mary Magdalene and the Virgin Mary.
Yeah.
I mean, they're both the same name. I digress. Keith from Middleton, did you watch the Emmys? What did you think of his speech, or what's your other comment this afternoon?
Well, actually, I did not, and I was going to comment on something else, although I do really love Leguizamo. He's awesome. My sister lives in Ohio, and I don't know if y'all have been following this, but there's a Facebook post by the sheriff of the county she lives in, which is Portage County, Ohio. The post goes like this. When people ask me what's going to happen if the flip-flopping laughing hyena wins, this is a direct quote, by the way, I say write down all the addresses of the people who had their signs in the yard. So when the illegal human, quote, locusts, which she supports, need places to live, will already have the addresses of their new families who supported their arrival. This is on his Facebook, as well as his official sheriff of the county Facebook page. And there were a couple people who've commented, and he said to one respond, he responded, I'll add that name to the list. The other one said, I'm making a list and checking it twice. That post had over 100 reactions and over 100 shares and multiple comments. This is the sheriff of a county in Ohio, who was a pretty large county, Portage County, which encompasses, I believe, part of Cincinnati and that area. So, what, you know, guys, this is getting out of hand.
That's disgusting. Since we live in the time of the internet, hey, everybody, get out your pens and pencils. I'm going to give you the Portage County Sheriff's Department phone number. You ready? Portage County Sheriff's Department phone number is 330-296-5100. That's 330-296-5100. Keith, thanks for letting us know. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. That is an unserious person willing to deal in racist, fascist tropes to deploy the language of Nazi Germany. That is unserious. It's undemocratic. It's un-American. It doesn't speak to our values. We don't call people locusts or vermin. Oh, by the way, I wonder if that sheriff in Portage County is a First Nation descendant. Is he a Native American? Because if not, sir, you are an immigrant. Again, never ceases to amaze the degree of overt racism, xenophobia, and hate that can get conjured up.
Well, when you take it all on faith, you really don't have to think about it.
And it's, I don't even like the word faith. It's indulging our most basic, tribalistic, Neanderthalic tendencies. Yep, we used to group ourselves like this and destroy one another because we had to for survival. Now there's enough to go around and we still want to call people vermin and locusts and talk about nests. It is not what democratic principles and values stand for at all. We can be better than that. We are better than that. You are better than that. So is the sheriff of Portage County, and he knows it. Shame on you, sir. Again, that number to express your displeasure is 330-296-5100. I'll continue to voice my displeasure on a variety of topics. We're going to see if we can find Dr. Ben Weston to join us in this last segment of the hour here on the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Maggie Dawn. That's my producer, Brian Kelly. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked, everybody.
You serious, Clark?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
I went to a party last Saturday night. I didn't get laid. I got in a fight. It ain't no big thing. Late for my job and the traffic was bad. Had to borrow $10 from my old man. It ain't no big thing. I went to a party last Saturday night. I told you that story, it'd be alright.
What's up and welcome back? Welcome if you're just joining us. I'm Maggie Dawn, host of the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We found Dr. Ben Weston. Super excited to have him joining us because it is flu shot season. It is booster season. Dr. Ben Weston, thanks so much, and thanks for your patience with us as we finally got you the right connect for this afternoon. There is a new COVID booster. Is it now available generally for everybody to go get?
It is, yeah. Nice to see you again. So it is generally available. It's the updated COVID vaccine, so it's updated to the most recent strain of COVID, so it should give you certainly increased protection from whatever vaccine you got most recently for COVID. Most of us haven't gotten it since last fall. So really, unless you recently were infected with COVID or for some reason got a much more recent vaccine, now would be a great time to get that new updated COVID vaccine and be protected for whatever comes next.
So important at this time, but so is the flu shot, right? And I think I'm personally of the mindset when I go in to get these or I schedule it, I just load them up, doc, and hit me with whatever I need for the fall season, for this winter cold and flu and COVID variant season. Yeah, feel a little crappy for about a day, but it's done and I don't have to worry about it. Does it matter? Do people, I have a good friend that separates them. She's immunocompromised, and so she does it separately. There's no wrong way to do this. The wrong way to do this is to not get the booster or the flu shot, right, Dr. Weston?
Right. So there's a few different ways you can go about thinking about it. So some people like to, and I do fall in this group, I like to strategize my flu shot a little bit. So flu is not out right now. The flu vaccine is not quite out yet either. But when the flu vaccine is, I like to wait until we start seeing flu in the community and get my vaccine then. So that means usually kind of mid, late October is when I'm getting my flu shot. Because when flu really peaks, say around January, I want that shot to be really on board and my immune system to be ready for that. COVID, there's a lot of different arguments for COVID. We're kind of coming to the end of a spike right now, is how it looks. And so presumably we'll have a little bit of a lull. And then as we've seen every winter, we'll get some sort of a winter spike. So some folks are wanting to wait a little bit to get their COVID vaccine, you know, around the same time, maybe say mid-October. But certainly if you are somebody over age 65, if you have medical issues, it's probably a good idea just to get that vaccine now, get yourself protected. And those folks can get another vaccine if they really want a little bit further. But long story short, Maggie, I'm complicating this way more than it needs to be. Some people want it complicated, but if you want it simple, just go get both vaccines and get it done and be protected.
Yeah, it's so important through this season. I had dinner plans with good friends of mine last week that are a little older. Wife came down with COVID. So it is happening. Everybody knows somebody who's gotten it. She was out of commission for about 3 days. It hit her really hard. I think I've had, I think I've had COVID 3 times, twice, terrible. Third time, not so bad. Again, the variants change, but there's no variance in this viewpoint, which is it's great to get the COVID booster. It's better for your health, your family's health, the community's health, as well as the flu shot. But there are certain inoculations that older folks and folks that are severely immunocompromised might think about, one of them dealing with pneumonia. What are a couple of those other vaccinations or immunizations that folks, if you fall into one of those two categories, might consider?
Yeah, so the two that we'd probably keep most in mind would be RSV and pneumonia. So those are recommended for folks over 65 to get those vaccines. Shingles is another one that's usually 50 and older. But RSV is a newer one around, so that's something that people may not be quite as aware of. So everyone age 75 and older should get an RSV vaccine. But if you're 60 and older, you can certainly get it, especially if you're at increased risk, have any sort of medical issues. So I would say, you know, if you have friends, if you have family, if you have neighbors who are over 65, those are the folks that really, really, really need to be getting all these vaccines, flu, COVID, RSV, just getting protected, because these, unfortunately, are the folks that are getting hospitalized. Right. When it comes to COVID, for example, hospitalizations are way down for all age groups, except for 65 plus. They're down, but they're not way down. We're still seeing way too many hospitalizations of folks 65 and plus. So if you have to target one person, one group to get these vaccines, it's going to be your 65 and older population.
We're getting a couple of questions on the text line, Dr. Weston, about where to get these. When do certain providers get them? It seems that CVS has got the COVID vaccine or booster, I should say, rather, but the Aurora Medical System doesn't. It doesn't matter where you get these. Can you get them for free still? If so, where? Can you fill in a little of the logistics for folks?
Yeah, and for COVID, I think what they're calling is the updated vaccine is the terminology they're using. But for COVID, really pharmacies are probably going to be most people's easiest and best bets. Now, if you're insured, and that includes public insurance, Medicaid, Medicare, if you're insured, the COVID vaccine should be covered. There is that gap of folks who aren't insured. And for them, really, the funding is coming to health departments. Not every health department is going to be able to offer it, but I would call your health department and see if you can get the vaccine through them. In Milwaukee, for example, residents of Milwaukee are able to get the vaccine through the Milwaukee Health Department, especially folks who are uninsured can get it for free through the Milwaukee Health Department. So you'd want to call them or pop in. But for people who are insured, pharmacies are just easy. They have the vaccines available. It's covered by your insurance, and it's quick to get.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Dr. Ben Weston. He is Milwaukee County's health policy expert and Civic Media's health policy expert. Thank you so much for your patience, Dr. Ben. We'll have you back in a little while to talk more about these things again. Folks, throughout the state, check with your municipal health department. If you don't have a municipal health department, then check your county's health department. One of those agencies will be able to tell you where to get the vaccines, the flu shots, and some of those health departments may provide them for no cost, depending on where you live. Thanks so much, Dr. Weston. Everybody go out there and get your flu shots and updated COVID vaccines. We'll be back with Maggie and the Millionaires talking money. It's because it's the 3 o'clock hour. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. News, weather, and sports are next. And then Brian and I will be back talking money.